If Davy Byrne starts running, lads, with the ball, there's absolutely no chance of me catching him. I don't think if I drove a Fiesta after him, I'd catch him.
Football Pod with Paddy and Andy. Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Speaking of football, Shane Hannan's back in studio with me to talk about the FA Cup and sporting heartbreaks. Chelsea and Leicester City contesting the final at Wembley at 5:15. How do you feel now about the FA Cup, Shane, in 2021?
It's a bit of a strange one. Like, you wake up this morning, John, and you're thinking to yourself, a lot of people aren't aware that the FA Cup final is on today. Do you know, it's one of these things that I remember different FA Cup finals where you'd be, I think someone on Twitter mentioned this morning that you'd be wondering what did the players eat for breakfast. You'd be looking at their suits walking into Wembley, the Liverpool white suits.
White suits, yeah.
Everyone remembers, like, watching from the helicopter angles of the bus coming into Wembley Stadium and watching them walk out, inspecting the pitch. There was just a mystique about the FA Cup final. It was something special in the calendar, like a Cheltenham Festival or something, or a World Snooker Championship.
Or the Masters, yeah.
Or the Masters. It's just something that you wanted to watch. It was appointment viewing. Even if you weren't into football, you threw on the FA Cup final every year. But now, look, we always say the magic of the FA Cup.
It's now the tragic of the Cup.
It is. You can't use the word magic anymore. It's one of these tournaments that, I guess, you know, a lot of people point to Manchester United pulling out of the tournament in the 99-2000 season. And look, they blamed the FIFA Club World Cup and fixture congestion. It worked out fine for them because they won the Premier League. But there was politics involved there too. England wanted the 2006 World Cup hosting and there was politics involved in that decision. But it probably did devalue the competition a little bit. Hasn't been the same since. But you can't just blame Manchester United because there have been quote-unquote magical moments in the FA Cup since then. It's just, I guess, managers not treating it with the respect that maybe they should. Like, even you see Manchester City this year, it was just seen as maybe one aspect of Man City's quadruple. It wasn't seen as a trophy that teams love to win. If Leicester City win it today, I really, really want Leicester City to win this trophy today, because when you have a team that's never won it before, Leicester fans would be mad up for this game today, because not only have they never won it before, they're in a final that they could very well win. Do you know, Leicester, Chelsea, of course, are a quality team, but they have the top four to think about. They have the Champions League final to think about. This is a big chance for Leicester City today. And if you look at different years, like Portsmouth in 08, when they beat United and Rio Ferdinand was in goals, and I think it was the quarterfinal at Old Trafford. Wigan Athletic in 2013, when they beat Manchester City by a goal to nil. When a team like that wins it, I think it brings back the magic of the FA Cup a little bit. It's not going to be a giant kidding. Leicester City are a Premier League team. They're a top four team at the moment. So it's not a surprise if they win it, but it will bring back some of that magic, I think.
When you were a kid, did you have the Man United jersey on?
Oh, it was seen as, like John Bruin, I was reading a great piece from John Bruin in recent days from a couple of years ago where he says it's now like the garnish for the Premier League. But back then, when I was a kid, it wasn't garnish. It was the full, it was the main course, the FA Cup.
This is mid-2000s. John O'Shea, we're going to have on at 3 o'clock, by the way.
Yeah, like John O'Shea, that 2004 United team against Millwall. Millwall weren't fancy to win that, of course, but I still remember Dennis Wise and that great Millwall team. And it was the Ruud van Nistelrooy Cristiano Ronaldo final. Ronaldo had a lovely header in that game. Ruud van Nistelrooy with a brace, won from the penalty spot. But it was one of the United hadn't won it in a couple of years, and you just felt that bit more of, I guess, warmth winning a cup final like that.
Did you have the jersey on that day? Were you kitted out?
United jersey on, like, sitting up the
10 or 11 years of age?
I was, yeah, 11 years of age for that 04 cup final. Like, and I remember the previous year as well, very well, for some reason. Southampton lost, I think, to Arsenal.
Yeah.
And I remember distinctly Chris Baird, the Northern Irish international, the camera panning to him at full time. And for some reason, still remember it to this day. There was a lovely shot of him looking down at his runners-up medal. Faint air of a smirk on his face, thinking, we've just lost a cup final, but I'm 21 years of age and I've just played in an FA Cup final. I'm from Northern Ireland, this is what dreams are made of. But now, I look back, Chris Baird is 39 years of age now, so that's a memory that's just distinct in my head. And I remember thinking, this is what it means to play in an FA Cup final. And then for United, my own team that I support, to be in the final the following year, was just magic. And you follow the teams, like that 2016 final, I remember obviously very well, like Alan Pardew doing the dance on the sideline when Crystal Palace
equalized. Damien Delaney played in it?
Damien Delaney played in it. And this, again, is the magic of it, because Damien Delaney will remember that for the rest of his life. He won't be happy with the result, losing to United, and that was the Jesse Lingard goal in extra time that won it for United that year, and ended up Louis van Gaal got the sack anyway, despite winning the FA Cup with United. But that, like, even David Myler, played in an FA Cup final for Hull City. Like, for Irish players growing up, there was the magic of the FA Cup when Delaney was a kid, when Milo was a kid. Of course, playing in the FA Cup final was huge to them. I don't know if players playing an FA Cup final now, do they feel that same mystique? The TV rights is one thing as well, John, that's come into it in recent years. Like, the FA Cup third round used to be like Cheltenham. You used to sit and watch the FA Cup third round results come in. When I was a kid, I'd have the teletext on. You'd have the CFAX or the Airtel or something to tell you that the FA Cup third round results. And there was a big ream of results from all of the FA Cup third round fixtures coming in at 10-5. And you knew they were all coming in at the same time. You'd look out for the Irish goal scorers. You'd look out for the non-league teams. You'd look out for the Giant Killings. But now with TV rights deals, these seasons, the FA Cup third round kickoffs are not all at 3 o'clock. They're all staggered. Some of them are the following day. Some of them are on the Monday. Some of them maybe on the Friday. It's just not the same. And the spirit of it has been kind of taken away from it by, I guess, the greed of football. And look, we've had a lot of talk about greed in football in the last month or two. But the same thing has come into TV rights in the FA Cup. It's just not the same. Pitch invasions. I mean, you had
Van Nistelrooy, there was one. I remember it was against Villa, I think it was, in the early 2000s.
In the early stages, yeah. But it's, would you get a pitch invasion if a team won the FA Cup now? Like, obviously, if a team is a Championship or League One or League Two team, maybe you would. But nowadays, teams don't really care. When Man City beat Watford, was it 6-0 in a final a couple of years ago? I mean, it was just a routine.
I have to say, I'm a Spurs fan. I'd love to go to an FA Cup final. I've never been to one. I'd love Spurs to win the FA Cup. It still has a resonance for me. Now, I don't think it does for a lot of younger people. I'm in my early 40s. But in 1987, Tottenham played Coventry in the final. They were expected to win. They coasted through the competition. They were third in the league that season. They lost the League Cup semi-finals. Coventry were a mid-table team. And Spurs lost 3-2 with an own goal from Gary Mabbutt. Keith Houchin scored a brilliant diving header. I was absolutely devastated. I remember 9 years of age, the dinner tray, the TV dinner on my lap way after the game, just in stunned silence. I remember the following year as a neutral, Wimbledon-Liverpool, the crazy gang being the culture club, as John Motson described it. Cantona's goal in 96, Owen 20 years ago. It has lost its lustre, but it has been a formative part of many people's lives in this country who love sport, because it was a thing that people are not connected to nowadays. But back then, even 1991, I was preparing for my confirmation. I was doing a kind of a dress rehearsal or research. Still in the school uniform, didn't change out of it, and watched Spurs beat Nottingham Forest with Roy Keane in the team, the Forest team, in 1991, an own goal as well from Des Walker. So it does have a resonance for a certain cohort, but sadly not for, I think almost Tuesday is almost more important for Chelsea and Leicester City than today in some ways. But their fans, Leicester fans, will want to win that trophy. I was actually going through 1980. West Ham shocked Arsenal as a second division club by a 0-0. There were 7 Irish players that played on the pitch for Arsenal that day. There were Irish: Liam Brady, Frank Stapleton, Sammy Nelson, Pat Rice, Pat Jennings, David O'Leary, and John Devine.
It's just like, you wouldn't get that ever again, would you?
No, I don't think you've got it before. At the time, a lot of Irish players played for Northern Ireland or the Republic of Ireland.
But it's like you mentioned the 91 final. I remember last, when we were all delving into nostalgia and old tapes of old matches last year, that 91 final was one of the games I watched. And like, Paul Gascoigne, and granted, I think he was very important for Spurs that year. He was banging in the goals in the run to the FA Cup final. And he absolutely decked one of the Nottingham Forest players in the chest with the studs early on. He was clearly pumped for the game. He ended up coming off, I think, with a cruciate in that final. Like, Gary Lineker's penalty miss. Just the aura of the FA Cup final was something else. And like you say you remember where you were watching that. Like, I remember where I was. Like, I was a kid, but I still remember it. The 99 FA Cup semi-final replay, when Ryan Giggs showed the world his hairy chest. And, you know, scored that incredible goal when Patrick Vieira passed him the ball against Arsenal in the Cup semi-final replay at Villa Park. Now, the final was a bit more. That was the treble year, and you know, Scholes scored and Sheringham scored, I think, in that FA Cup final. The lovely grass of the Wembley pitch on a sunny day. Like, the atmosphere in Wembley, what must be on a normal year, the atmosphere would be just incredible in Wembley. Nowadays, it's gone a little bit, but I think when it gets to a final, like, even judging from the TV pictures in 2016, United Palace, the atmosphere looked incredible. Like, I'm sure Damien Delaney has spoken on this show about it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just hairs in the back of your neck sort of stuff. So, you know, it's just one of those things that it's kind of like, Liverpool fans will remember the 06, the Steven Gerrard final. You know, Paul Konchesky giving West Ham the lead and you think it's all over, but Gerrard rescues it from the depths of injury time, takes it to extra time in the winning penalties. Like, different fans of different clubs will remember such iconic moments. Nowadays, though, It's not a case.
I think people don't anticipate it anymore.
No.
But I think when they're in it, when they watch it, because you'll watch football anyway, they enjoy it when they're watching it in real time. It kind of brought me on to the subject on Twitter last night of heartbreak. That Spurs was a massive heartbreak in 87. Still was a painful day still now, what, so many years later. And I was getting some great feedback on heartbreaks. I was thinking of heartbreaks in sport, like Jimmy Wyche, black off the spot, was so sad. Wim Kieft for the Dutch against Ireland in 1988, Brazil's team in 1982, the hand of Henri, that game when we played France off the park in Paris trying to qualify for the 2010 World Cup. People pointed into Wimbledon against Liverpool fans when Michael Thomas scored, even Man United fans when Aguero scored. It's funny what sticks in the craw as something that going wrong, or I'm sure for you as Monaghan Tyrone a couple of years ago, you had a chance of reaching the All-Ireland final as a supporter. I remember even meeting you outside Croke Park that day. And it just felt so flat.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like the heartbreak in sport is important. People can't tell you sport matters. I adopt this mindset, you know, I'm a big space geek, so I'm going on a slight tangent here, but you know, if things worry me in life, or if I feel myself getting stressed, I think about the photograph taken by the Voyager spacecraft, late 70s, early 80s, the pale blue dot it's called, and it's from, I think it was 6 billion kilometers away. And the Earth is this tiny, is one pixel in the photograph. It's a little kind of blue pixel. And I think to myself, everything that has ever existed on planet Earth is in that one pixel. So why do my little problems matter at this particular moment in time? So I used to adopt the same for sport. If something happens in a match, sure, who cares? But I got to tell you, there's been moments where I have thrown that pale blue dot photo out the window. And just like the Monaghan match you mentioned, 2018, that semi-final, I was absolutely buzzing for that game. You met me, as you said beforehand, outside the Croke Park Hotel. I just thought Monaghan had a chance. And it was just about getting to the final and having the build-up for the final. Having the flags around the county, having the hope in your heart, even though it would have been a final against Dublin, that they inevitably would have probably gone on to lose. But it was just...
But you
hope.
You didn't know that.
Exactly.
You didn't know that. You would have had a chance.
It's the hope. And earlier in that summer, I had a moment where David Clifford put the ball in the Monaghan net in Clonus on a lovely summer's day to equalise for Kerry in the last kick of the game. And that was the now famous goal. One of the greatest games I've ever seen in person in Gaelic football. And I had been looking at I knew a win for Monaghan meant we would get into the All-Ireland semi-final for the first time in 30 years. I was picking which gate I was going to run through. Just like every other Monaghan fan, which fence am I going to hop onto the pitch through here? I was planning my entry to the pitch, and then Clifford did what he did. I'm glad it happened now in hindsight, because we had the following week then against Galway and Salt Hill, which was just a magical weekend where we beat them, and then eventually got through to the semi-final anyway. The Aguero moment, I remember being in a pub in Monaghan, and you know the full-time whistle has gone against Sunderland, and United have done all they can do. It's all square at the Etihad between City and QPR, and just that... Martin Tyler, I almost can't listen to Martin Tyler anymore because of it. I left the pub immediately as that ball hit the net. As the Aguero ball hit the net, I walked out and I said, I can't deal with this, because you've got City fans around, you've got inevitably some of your friends around who are Liverpool fans who are absolutely loving this. You just have to get out of there. And I wasn't alone. My dad was there, my brother was there, a couple of United...
Are they United fans?
They're United fans
as well.
That's
okay then.
And a couple of United supporting friends. There's, like, you mentioned the Jimmy White black off the spot. Like, Ken Doherty in 03 was another one for me.
Well, it was Clive Everton put it brilliantly, that Mark Williams won the tournament, but Doherty won the championship.
Yeah. I mean, Doherty's win over sadly, the late Paul Hunter in that semi-final was probably the greatest, one of the greatest matches in Crucible history. He won 17-16. And, like, to go on to the final then, he did lose 18-16 to Mark Williams, but it was just... gut-wrenching for everyone, because Ken Doherty wanted to be a multiple world champion, not just this one-time champion. So there's those moments. Macedonia 99, Belgium 97. You mentioned Henri's handball. Moments that stick in your craw. So regardless of the pale blue dot and forgetting about all that matters in life, sport matters.
Speaking about the pale blue dot, I remember crying my eyes out in Killiney Hill in 1988 when Charlie Redmond missed a penalty against Meath, and I thought Dublin would never, ever do it. And now look, things can change. Things can change for the better.
Well, I'm going to adopt that. No, I'm not saying Monaghan will go on and win 6 All-Irelands in a row, but it's hard to feel sympathy for Dublin fans. It's like you now have your moment in the sun. Step aside.
Everybody,
and
I think everybody apart from Kerry was happy in 2011 when Dublin won the All-Ireland, but the beast that was unleashed, unfortunately, has made Gaelic football a little bit boring at the moment. But hopefully, even as a Dublin fan, I'd love to see another county win it. And for me to even say that on national airwaves is pretty mad. Shane Hannan, thanks so much as always.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.